Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Stanetta Anthony as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about our furry friends, the gift that keeps on giving, and her new children's book, A Home for Sally. Welcome, Stanetta.
Hi, Marco. How are you?
I am so happy to have you on the show. I love the idea of furry friends and that they are the gift that keeps giving. It's just so true. So true.
And it is. And the furry friends, no matter whether they're big or small, are actually the gift that keeps on giving. And since we are in the Christmas season, it's the perfect gift.
You know, it's funny when one of my most favorite Christmas gifts I've ever gotten is on my desk right now. His name's Bender, and he's a big gray Russian blue cat that started out as this little tiny kitten that our son's girlfriend found on the street. And our son gave him to us because he couldn't keep him when he was in college. And we brought him home Christmas 2010, and he's just, it's definitely so true. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
And you know what, and that's the thing about pets, and I'm thinking about a story when you just mentioned that, where a few months ago I was visiting someone, and they found a dog on the, well, here in Chicago, we call them expressway highways, and they found the dog. And the dog, her name right now, but it seemed like the dog had been hit by a car. And so
oh, no.
The dog, right, and so they picked up the dog, and the thing that was the funniest thing to me was the dog had on a diaper.
Oh.
And so it kept out looking, but you could tell that their back legs were broken. And so I said, well, why do you have a diaper on the dog? And they said, because we can't take her out to walk because her legs are broken. And so the sidewalk just, you know, be too much. So she scoots around the house because the house is carpeted. But it's just the loveliest thing. And so when they take her out, and I know it's a her, I just can't remember her name. When they take her out, they have her little carry and everything. And so now they're working on getting her some wheels, precious thing ever. And the family, the person that found the dog, the family were calling their siblings saying, okay, I live in an apartment, but I can't take the dog. And so they just had this conversation between their family saying, who's going to take this dog and who's going to take this dog? And so finally someone in the family took this dog, and they were supposed to just fostering it. But it's been almost a year now, so I think that's kind of over. I think they're just taking the dog in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, your book is about a dog who's, I like to think of it as perfectly imperfect. That's what Beth Stern says on her Instagram, where she has all these kitties for adoption. You know, she calls the ones that aren't totally perfect, perfectly imperfect. And I love the idea, though, that Sally's not perfect, but she is perfect. So tell us a little bit about Sally and your book and why you wrote the book, okay?
Well, Sally, she is a perfectly imperfect dog, puppy. And I wrote Sally because I was an educator for 20-plus years, and I had the privilege and the honor of teaching children with special needs. And I just always felt that there is something unique. I'm not saying every child is unique, but there is something unique about a special child because there are certain obstacles depending on their disability that they have to overcome,
mm-hmm.
which makes them a little different. And I think about that, made me think about even us as people, that we all have something unique and something different about us. Even though it may not be visible to anyone else, but it's visible to us. Someone may say, I have a little crook in my nose, but no one else may see that crook but you, but it's perfectly imperfect to you. But to the outside world, there's nothing going on. But with Sally, you can see what's going on with her. She has a missing paw. And her story is one that I feel is with a lot of animals, where they are often the least to be adopted, because people feel as if I take a dog that has going to be a greater challenge for me, am I going to be able to care for them? Is it going to be economically? Is it going to, you know, things like that that people may consider. But it doesn't matter, because every dog, every cat, every whatever animal that you pick up, it just wants to be loved. And so in the story, that's about Sally. She just wants to be loved. And she has a happy ending. But she goes through challenges just like we as people go through challenges. She gets discouraged. She gets bullied. She doesn't love herself at all times. She's wondering, does anybody love me? Will anyone accept me for who I am? And she goes through her ups and downs in life, and she has a happy ending, like I said. But she's just like us. She's just like us as humans, that we have things that we go up and down and back and forth with as
people. Oh, I've always loved animals. They've just always been such an important part of life for me and for our family, actually. You know, our whole family loves animals. And for us, it makes more sense to have a cat for where we live, because we're in a condo. But, just, you know, all animals, all furry friends, you know, they're all just such wonderful additions to families. Now, what was the hardest thing, part about writing this book?
I guess the hardest thing was, you know what, it wasn't so hard writing the book. But the hardest thing was some of the things that I had to really pour my heart into and really think about. So when I wrote the book, I some of those things I didn't think about. But after I wrote the book, I thought about how will some children feel about this when I'm reading it. Are they going to be okay? Because I did get a few I'm not going to say backlashes. Some people, they didn't like some of the words. But I wanted to get my point across that this is how this dog feels. And so they weren't bad words. It was just powerful words that I, because one word I used was, you know, incapacitated. And so a person, they didn't like that. And I said, but I needed to get Sally's point across and get her voice out there that this is how I feel. And no one else feels this way but me. And So that was the, you know, some of the hardest parts that I got. But other than that, it was okay. It was okay.
So was it always a dream of yours to write a book?
No, actually it was not. And so I consider myself as a storyteller, but I never considered myself as a writer. And so at the young, wonderful age of 49, I wrote my first book. And so for years and years, I spent time in the classroom. I would recreate every story. My favorite story to recreate is The Three Bears. And so The Three Bears, they would go to the neighborhood. They were everywhere. So I told that story over and over and over again. And so finally, one day I was like, oh, I think I should write something. And I was just writing, and I shared my writing with my sister-in-law. And when I shared it with her, she said, oh, that's a good book. Where did you get that from? And I said, oh, I wrote it. She was like, really? And I said, really? And I just let it sit because I still didn't have that, I'm going to say that desire to go out and have anything published or written because it was not something I ever considered. And about a year later, I was like, okay, let me just see what happens. And after a while, a book officially became a part of it and became a part of me, where I became an official author. And it's taken me a couple of years to even embrace that title. I wouldn't cringe, but I would be like, oh, I wrote a book. But I just didn't embrace that part of saying, oh, I'm an author. So I don't know if everyone feels like that, but that's how I felt. That's how I felt.
Well, you know, yeah, I felt that way with my book, too. I mean, I still do. I mean, it's been out for years now. I still, when I think about it, think of myself as someone who wrote a book more than I think of myself as an author, you know. And it's funny because some people, though, have ghostwriters write their books. So, I mean, being an author doesn't necessarily say for sure that you wrote the book. So I think that's kind of why I like thinking of it as that I wrote the book instead of just that I'm an author, because it really did all come from my heart. You know, it's a big step, you know, to get it out there and to have people see it and hopefully like it, you know, and whenever they do, it's just such a wonderful feeling, you know. So now, why did you create Sally as a special needs animal?
Well, I created her as a special needs animal. I like to watch the pet adoptions on Saturday morning television. So that's one of my favorite things, different shelters featuring their dogs on Saturday morning television. And what I observed was I never seen a special needs dog or cat. And I just always wondered, where are they? Why aren't they on television? Why aren't they the center of attention? Why aren't they, their requests for being adopted, out in the forefront as well? And I understood that, of course, you want to put the best foot forward to promote adoption. But I just always wondered, where were they? And so that's actually, I guess, after just thinking about that and looking at television, it was like, okay, I need to do something different for Sally than just the normal, quote-unquote, happy dog. And I'm going to say the normal because she's perfectly imperfect, the quote-unquote normal-looking dog. So I had to make her a little different. But she's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I really fell in love with Sally when I was reading your book. So she just seems so sweet. And I love how you in the book, you start realizing how the animals are feeling about wanting to get adopted and, you know, that whole thing. So, you know, it really touched my heart. And I'm so thankful that there are people that do adoptions that help people adopt animals, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing. So,
it is, and adoption is so important because there are so many animals who are left without a home and are euthanized on a yearly basis. And, you know, like I said, we're in the Christmas season, and then there'll be a lot of people who will be getting animals for Christmas Preto is a cycle where I get the dog or I get the cat or I get the rabbit or the hamster or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And I get it Christmas morning and, you know, the kids are all excited and everything. And then maybe about 3 to 6 months down the line, we consider it too much work. And so that animal goes back to the shelter.
Oh, no.
And so, So you just want to be conscious. And I saw that Sally story. But okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep Sally. She's going to be a part of our family. And until she goes, crosses over into her doggy rainbow.
Oh, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a big responsibility. I mean, and I think you're right. I think some people don't take it seriously enough. When you said that about the bunnies, it reminded me of our little Holland Lop dwarf bunny that we had. We had her for 12 and a half years.
We got her.
She was a little tiny bunny baby, and she was so small and just mostly fur. She was just the cutest little thing, and my husband just absolutely loved her. We actually got her for our son as a pet because, you know, like I said, we lived in a condo, and so we used to always have birds. That was what it was, why we couldn't have a cat before, because we always had parakeets. And so we thought, well, we'll get him a bunny, you know, because they can live a lot longer than the little rats that we had gotten him. She lived 12 and a half years, you know. She was blind the last few years that she was here, but she still got around really well. And she was such a loving animal. My husband, like I said, just absolutely loved her. And he says he got, I don't know, thousands of bunny kisses because she would lick his nose when he would give her treats.
Oh, that is so sweet. That is so sweet.
Yeah. But I hear the same thing happens a lot with rabbits, you know, that people give them as gifts during Easter and then take them and drop them off somewhere because they don't want them, you know. And that's so sad, too. So
it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love that your book, though, does help you start thinking about how the animals feel about it. And I think that's really an important aspect of it.
Yeah, because animals have a heart just like we do. So we have to consider that they may not be human, but they have a human heart. That's how I'm going to put it. They still have a human heart. They have feelings. They have emotions. They care just like care. They get lonely just like we get lonely. And so they feel just like we feel, and we have to consider that.
Oh, you know, that's so true. And I so many times I watch our cat, Bender. His name's Bender. Our son named him after the robot in Futurama.
Okay.
And the robot's name's Bender. But Bender's kind of a cool name for a cat anyway, because he does bend a lot. But, you know, it's so funny because I love how he can be just so relaxed and kind of like he's asleep. And then if I just look at him for a while, it's like he can pick up on the vibes, you know, and he'll kind of crack open an eye like he's doing right now and go, "She's talking about me."
Oh my goodness, that's funny. That is funny.
Yeah. But yeah, they are just such a wonderful gift. They really are. But you're right, they need to be, people need to realize that they have feelings and that they need love and that they get lonely. And what do you think? Okay, now, one of the questions I was wondering about is, how do you think a dog feels when you read to them? I've seen people reading to dogs in shelters before. And
okay,
what do you think about that?
I have done this. Okay, so I have done this. The greatest experience ever. So I when Hope for Sally first came out, I did a reading at a couple of shelters, animal shelters. And the biggest response I got was the barking. So I figured they enjoyed the book because they were barking. Now, I don't know if they really did or not, but they barked through the whole thing. And so I just kept on reading and kept on reading and kept on reading. So I figured that dogs like you to read to them. And that's that. That's all I can say.
You know, that's probably true. And it's funny because I haven't really read to Bender, our cat, but he absolutely loves to be on my desk every time I'm doing a radio show and every time I'm talking to a coaching client. You know, he just is always there. So it's like he's part of the conversation. I guess he likes the conversation. So, yeah, maybe that's true.
Yeah,
now,
so maybe reading a book to him, yeah, he may like it. He may like it.
I think I'm going to try that. So now, what made you choose your character's name? Why Sally?
You know what? I just love the name Sally. And
I always like that name too. Yeah.
Oh, I just like the name Sally, and it just seemed to stick. I tried to give it other names, but Sally was the one that stuck with me. And so when I refer to the book, I always say, okay, Sally. So, yeah.
I like that. Is Sally based on a real dog?
No, it's not based on a real dog, but I consider her a product of a real dog, if that makes sense. So she is a reflection of the different dogs that have some type of a special needs dog, but she's not based on an actual real dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just kind of representative of all the dogs that are perfectly imperfect and need homes.
Yes. Right.
So now, do you volunteer in the classroom and read the book to students?
Yes, I do. We do. And when I read the story to Sally, I always open up, before I read, I ask the children to look at the cover and tell me what do they see. Well, some children pick it up right away, and then someone be like, well, something's wrong with that dog. What's wrong with that dog?
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, let's talk about it. So when I read the book, it always opens up a conversation of why, you know, something different that's unique about us and then how we feel about that. And when it opens up that conversation, it allows me to open up a personal conversation about myself, of where I had a finger, which is a middle finger, that was broken when I was a child that never fully mended.
Mm.
And so when I talk to the children about this, we always say, I hold up my finger, and they always laugh and say, oh, you said a bad word because it's a middle finger.
Oh.
And I, so it's a wonderful thing. And so I explained to them that for years, I was subconscious about this particular finger because it just stands at attention. No matter what I do, it just stands at attention. And that it taken me years and years, even into adulthood, to really say, to be thankful that I had my finger. And that even though it may look funny, it may not bend like the rest of my fingers. It may say a bad word at some time, but it's my finger. And we have to all be thankful that we have something that is unique about us that nobody
else sees. That's such a good point. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in what's wrong with ourselves or someone else or whatever. And really, I mean, most of the time, luckily, most of the things are right. You know, and it's just so important to be grateful for what you do have and for what it, and that it can work, you know, that your hands can work and, oh, my God, all the things that we take for granted.
This is so true. This is so true.
You know, we only have 4 minutes left.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes by really fast. So what is your favorite children's book and why?
Okay, so my favorite children's book is The Little Engine That Could. And why it is my favorite children's book is because the train just couldn't seem, the smallest train just couldn't seem to do what all the bigger trains did.
Mm-hmm,
but initially, mm-hmm. he was able to overcome, and he had to go and be the, I'm going to say, the bigger train. Although he's the little train, he had to be the bigger train or the bigger train. So all of the trains, big trains, broke down, but the little train that was always pushing aside, he had to be like, okay, I'm going to keep chugging and chugging and chugging and chugging until
mm-hmm.
finally we reach our destination. And so, yeah, it's on my bookshelf now. It's worn. It's very worn, but it's my favorite book.
Oh, you know, that's so true. I mean, it's just if you keep going and you know where you want to go, you can get there, but you can't give up, you know, and I think that's really the message of that book. Like I said, we only have 3 minutes left, though. What do you want to tell our listeners before we go? It has to be something pretty quick, but what do you want to leave them with?
Okay, so what I want to leave the listeners with today is to accept. The accepting of creature, no matter what they look like, no matter what they sound like, and not only be accepting of every creature, be accepting of yourself, no matter what you look like, no matter what you sound like, we all have something unique, and we are perfectly imperfect animals as well as people.
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that I decided to have you on my show. I'm so glad Jonathan recommended that I have you on the show. And I don't know. I just loved your smile and the book. I just had to, I just had to have you on when I saw the smile in the book.
Thank
oh, speaking
you
of
so
book,
much.
Where can people get your book?
Okay, so you can get my book. It's available on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
Barnes & Noble online, Target online. Through Ingram Books, which is a book distributor, and
mm-hmm.
you can get it through the publisher, which is Covenant Books.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, Stanetta, thank you for writing the book, and thank you for being on my show, and thank you for all the ways that you live your music. It sounds like you are really a ray of sunshine in the lives of the people that know you, and I'm so glad to know you myself.
And I am glad to know you as well. Much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Everyone out there, I want you to think about what music you hear in your heart. And please, everyone, live your music. Do it for you, but also do it for everyone else that you know. The more people that live their music, the more happy this world is going to be. Oh, bye for now, Stanetta. Bye for now, everyone. Please share this show with your family and friends and get her book. And also, if you can, adopt a pet, a perfectly imperfect one or a perfect one in all ways, but just do and really take good care of your animals, too. They need all the love we can give them, and they give us all the love they have back. So bye for now. Bye, Stanetta.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Live your music.